original classification of the top of page 18. Original classification authority. Entity authorized by the head of the organ of state. Deleted. Personal information. UHF. Physical security. Deleted. Prescribed means. Prescribed by regulation. Made in terms of section 57. UHF. Fire means fire. Objections are over?
No.
Contacted information, deleted public interest. Is that still old in that? You sure? Public interest. Public record means a record created. Record means. Regulations. Page 19. The request means deleted. The request for access. The PIO version. Requester grant. Relevant minister. The other one. Okay. Secret information. And we're not going to forget that. Security means. I don't like to be secured.
I like to be secured, but I'm the next.
Is there any objections to delete the word, the definition for security? Deleted. Security clearance, that's a certificate issued.
Another massive concession by
the Security Committee. Page 20. Security is out some time ago. Sensitive information. No, the members can. Sensitive information is just state information is right. State operations. Anybody got the sorry. An Arabic version? What was and what wasn't? You retained this by mistake, is that? State information. State operation, sorry. State operations deleted. State security matter is.
It was nice new business.
Well, now, first option delete. State security matter. Second option Well, I mean, you can knock them all down, but let me make them. Can I make my proposal, then you shut me down? Thank you. Could you shut me down before making the proposal? Yeah. People with 66% majority must be generous. The stage that it is at the end, comma, which has been classified in terms of this act.
You know, under your own intelligence laws, 2002, which statute is 2002? That is what is prohibited. That is what is criminalized. Is the exposure of classified information in respect of the agency. And I do not understand how you can now suddenly cinemascope, broaden the screen, anything whatsoever to do with the agency. You may now not disclose the publication in order to crash. Minimum.
Can we at least take it under advisement until tomorrow?
On page 81 of the document we have presented. That is where the crime is. There was really that their view was that the whole thing was deleted. So there is no counter proposal or different proposal on this situation. You understand what I mean? The view of the Honorable Mayor and Smuts was that Old 43, which is now 52, which you find on page 81 of the thick document, that whole clause be deleted. We're not finding a thin document or alternative because their view was that it would be deleted. Then she will understand that they do not agree with the definition that the two is connected.
May I just say, however, that I long ago pointed you to the Intelligence Whatever Act of 2002. It may even appear in my list of amendments. Point out that the offence already existed of exposing classified information. And there was a point in the proceeding when you were listening to me and I thought that we could in fact arrive at that point. I mean, you shouldn't be doing duplicate offences anyway. But there was a point when I thought that you would in fact agree to this.
and that the thing was basically under construction. So therefore, I mean, we would support the idea that you at least narrow it down to classified information in respect of the agency. Otherwise, it flies in the face of the whole bill, which allows for classification on the grounds of national security as now defined. And I'm not aware that within the framework of this bill, you can somehow classify anything irrespective of whether there's a national security dimension. So we ourselves would, at minimum, although we would want the Chikane clause out, we would at minimum have to look at a compromise proposal which refers to classified information in respect to the agency.
Deleted. Top secret information. Agreed to has been in 13. Is it 13 or 15? Sorry, I was shot. What was that? Chocolate at the end?
No.
You're on page 20, yes. Then, valuable information. Deleted. Then, new valuable information. Contemplated. Okay, then we get to clause 1, subsection 2. This act must be interpreted to give effect and agreed to. Then we get to subsection 3. When considering an apparent conflict that was agreed to. Mr. Lundis.
Jane, in this single page document, we have a proposal that we would like to include here, which is as follows, despite section 5 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act, in the event of a conflict between the provision of this act and a provision of another act of Parliament that regulates access to information, the provision of this act prevails.
That's old. That's old news. That's old news.
Very good.
Okay.
Can it be repeated?
Can you circulate copies of that to me?
Chairman,
could you, if you're on the
Lander,
does
meaning to substitute
section
clause
3 now? Which one are you preferring, Mr. Lander? Which one are you referring here?
The last one.
The short one. So you're asking for that to be inserted as a
subclause 4.
This is something that's been around before. Some will have seen it with the callers. Can we go on to the members? You're opposing the second amendment? Yes, sir.
Chairman, at the beginning of this process, you very solemnly recorded one of those framing agreements, which was the fact that whatever fire gave, this act is not going to take away. And this enables this act to take away. I mean, one would need to analyze it very carefully to determine the extent to which that actually happened. So I'm just thinking about what we worked on today in terms of the court. And my entire reading of that provision was against my reliance on the existence of AB sub 1, this fire that says give everything to the court, you cannot withhold anything from the court. Now, against this language, the very protection that we work in today, I mean, I would need to reconsider and see the impact. I think that we would all feel more comfortable if we leave things to the court to interpret, rather than giving this imperative direction to the court. After all, this is a substantive piece of legislation. And it might just be the case that this piece of legislation prevails over past time, but let's leave it with the court.
Concerns, fire prevails, trumps other information law. We've rehearsed this argument very many times. The fire, together with the Fajr and the Equality Act, were passed in February 2000 under the Constitution, which requires three laws to give effect to those three relevant rights. The fire trumps, and it is a very sad day when new law expressly seeks to do the exact opposite and to prevail against fire. Something we cannot support. Our Constitution in Section 72 promises all of us access to information in the hands of the state, and that is the central plank of the demands of, I think, civil society, every opposition party, and this is an attempt to counteract the effects of Section 72, and therefore constitutional issues come into play.
Are opposed to this. We always talk to you as much as we want to take away from fire. I think this does in effect take away, and we regret we will not support this. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Embassy, I'm surprised because you were in fact the architect of arguing this particular cause. You were the one that said this institution is independent. This institution has the right to make its laws and change its laws. So I'm surprised that you find fault with that. Perhaps your memory doesn't go as far back as mine. So
on many, many occasions,
my memory.
We could change the fire with no laws.
My memory, unfortunately, is impeccable, and I bear the pain of remembering everything. I wish I didn't. What I said, and I stand by, is that I don't believe that Section 5 of FIRE immunizes FIRE from explicit or implicit amendments. So it is perfectly possible in my firm but humble and firm view, that this act implicitly repeals or amends certain sections of FIRE. And I am of the view that many judges will reach the same conclusion if asked to rule on that. But let that happen this way, by having this written down the way we do, we are taking it one step further, giving an instruction to a judge to resolve conflicts in a matter of primacy, and that's where I'm not terribly opposed, but I'm very uncomfortable.
Allow me to read you very quickly what Pius says, because I think that the concern that is raised is perhaps not clear, not based on a clear understanding of what Pius says. Section 5 of Pius says, the heading is application of other legislation prohibiting or restricting disclosure. That's the heading. Talking about the bill. And the thing says, this act applies to the exclusion of any provision of other legislation. In other words, five will prevail against any other legislation that prohibits or restricts the disclosure of a record of a public body or a private body, and is clearly inconsistent with an object or a specific provision of. Now, if you don't deal with that particular clause, basically what you're saying that this act is subject to buyer.
What we've always asked for, and we've in fact rewritten this law to the point where it is not materially inconsistent with buyer, except for a few big issues on which we differ. And I think that you are trying to take care of those big issues by inserting this.
Some of the members of this of legislation is a is an inroad and access to information just like mine. Mine is in itself a limitation of access to information, and the Constitution itself said there's even built in limitations in the Constitution provision that provides for the existence of fire, over and above the Section 56 limitation. So there can be no misunderstanding that both fire and the bill are restrictions on access to information. The question that is going to arise as to whether that is justifiable, necessary, and the whole question 56 applies. But that also applies to fire. So I don't know to what extent that fire has become an obstacle, because if I will repeat tomorrow, the question that you should ask yourselves is the bull going to stand on its own, or is it hanging halfway on the fire, so that if fire collapses, the bull is also going to collapse. The bull should be able to stand on its own. We are not going to hire you. That clause, you're not going to no way in this bill are we saying that Section 5 of fire is to be included. We're merely saying, in respect of other legislation where fire will be supreme, any other legislation that restricts access to information, that clause will not apply to the bill, because the bill has got its own complication. I'm just what?
Chair, we've had this debate over and over. We hold our view as to the impact of what PIA is. And I just can't believe that you're saying that PIA restricts access. That whole ambit is to give access. It has a specific override for national security. And it is very regrettable at this very late stage that we now are backtracking and taking away from PIA. And I want to express myself in the strongest possible terms. And I think it is disgraceful.
That not the restriction?
A very limited restriction.
a restriction.
What's the override? And the whole
it's a restriction. It's not an override. Fire says you can't get a whole range of things. Is that not a restriction on your access?
Why is it that you don't want to? Are we now going to reopen the debate on all issues? Are we going to have a debate on the public interest defense tonight still? Are you going to allow that? Because we're now reopening debates on issues that we've agreed on. Listen, can we get a little guidance from, as to the process?
Sir, just for the record, you know as well as I do that in Section 32.2 of the Constitution says you may limit the access to information in the hands of the state on financial and administrative grounds. That's why they ask us to write international law, not making it impossible or impossibly expensive for government. In addition, as you say, the limitations clause kicks in, and where another right weighs against access, for example, a right to privacy, because all of the mandatory exclusions in FIRE are personal information, then you take account of that, as you do whenever you write a law, you try to weigh the rights against each other. And that's as far as it goes. Apart from those things, the FIRE prevails. The section of the FIRE that has always been the relevant one for our exercise is 41, Defense, Security and Intelligence. And as long as you follow the contours of that section, as indeed we have in rewriting the Act, then you are still in sympathy and not materially inconsistent with FIRE. And I think for the larger part, we are not. I mean, we are so close to getting a proper intelligence classification law, which does the right thing and sits alongside FIRE, with the exception of a few outstanding issues between us. And we have spent so much time aligning this law with FIRE to the point where we have now most felicitously determined that all requests for access go to the FIRE route. If it turns out the stuff you want is classified, it still goes the FIRE route, which means it goes to court, which means it can be appealed on its merits. So all of that is most satisfactory, and it's a great pity now not to just include the outstanding issues and to do them right.
We're on page 21 on the menu. The rest of 21 is deleted. Up until page 22.
I know it's done all the time, but I'm just saying I don't want to have a long discussion. It's a minor matter, but the word object should really be objective.
Page 22, the whole of page 22 is deleted up until page 23. On page 23, the DA has requested that the OMK and the new J, sorry, the OMK be reinstated. Am I correct? No, sorry, no, that.
Well, in light of what has just happened, yes. If you mean the National Declassification Database?
The OJ was originally deleted. They wanted it to be included and kept, so just keep that J.
So there's one other little
K is deleted.
But yes. There's one other little thing under H. Create a system for the review of the status of classified and designated, you don't want a duplicate state, by way of regular reviews and requests for reviews. Oh, I see somebody has cleaned it up. It has in the last document and statements reviewed, but that's no longer there, right? How did that materialize to happen? That's the right thing. That's only by way of regular review and requests for review. Isn't this request for access? It used to read on Friday, requests for access to classified information and status review. But we had just got to the point of ditching the status review clause, or hadn't we? It should be create a system for the review of the status of classified. Look, and designated has survived. Am I looking? I'm looking at the old thing. create a system for the review of the status of classified information by way of regular reviews, yes. Request for access to classified information, yes. And status reviews. Did we or did we not decide to scrap the clause on status review? We were asking ourselves who really was going to use it.
Honourable members, 22. The objects clause. After 2, there is a bold bracket and everything is in bold. Everything is deleted right up until 23, including harmonize the implementation of active promotion. Okay, and then the next thing that is deleted is the national declassification. So the H that you're talking about has been deleted on the member. The clause 2 that we are talking about follows below that, the objects clause.
24, and I'm asking you, in the second X, at the very end of the third line in H, and whether the word and status review still belong there. Did we or did we not throw out the clause relating to status review? I think we did. Because none of us could think of the who would actually apply to this.
We're on page 24, honourable members. The discussion is on H. Is there any proposal I have to alter it, or are you happy with the way it is? Honourable members, seen it's okay, isn't it? Okay, H and M. Please keep it this way. Information, protected information. We need to fiddle with that.
For the state of advance of Toluca, may I? and I don't want to enter the debate, just that if they are confident that the expression may be assigned is the correct one, as opposed to maybe made applicable to under 2B. Because the administration...
What page?
On 24. On 26. Page 26, 2B. The administration of an act is assigned to an organ of state. But here we are not assigning the administration of an act. We are expanding the scope of application of that act. And I think that this, what we, this act will expand the scope of application by virtue of an act of the minister. So the assignment of a law in administration, which is that what the Constitution refers when it talks about the president assigning a law to a member of cabinet for administration, that law remains the same, doesn't expand its scope of application and its width of application. I just have, and as I said, I don't want to engender a discussion. If they can look at it and satisfy themselves that the expression is correct, because I have seems incorrect to me.
Is your proposal on our
member? Maybe, sorry, the classification of this act, may be made applicable by the minister, blah, 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 blah. May be made applicable by the minister.
National standards.
Sir?
Yes.
On 7 and 8. We've never really discussed 7. It's the one that the Human Rights Commission pointed out in its earlier submission is the central problem of the Act. It is to some degree now affected by the narrowing of the scope of application. But may I just point you to an opinion that it remains overbroad and vague, which is therefore a constitutional problem. Notwithstanding subsection 2, I just draw your attention to that. You'll find it in Advocate Kuba Sandroen's opinion. It is the same argument as under Daywood, the Minister of Home Affairs, as applied to the criteria for classification in 13, which we did discuss. And may I just now more specifically draw your attention to the fact that the Minister is now going to prescribe broad categories and subcategories of information. That's where the vagueness and overbreadth comes in. Both for classified and, of course, for valuable information, as you know, and you know we are opposed to the latter category. But I simply say to you at this stage, don't tell me later, I never said so, that the breadth of the categories and subcategories that the Minister may delineate are overbroad. And then in 8 thereafter, where the departmental head or the head of each organ of state must also, in addition, establish policies, directives, and categories for classifying, downgrading, and declassifying, but also for
the word alteration has been left out. Alteration, loss, and destruction are valuable information. There, I think that we really do have to change something in H1, because I think that we will have to insert the words where applicable. The head of each organized state must establish policies, directives, and categories for classifying, downgrading, and declassifying. Surely, you must at minimum insert where applicable. As the law stands, it applies only to the police, the defense force, and intelligence. Then, in addition, we know other people can opt in, but it's only where they opt in or are already specified as Chapter 11 constitutional institutions where this is applicable. So surely we must say, the head of each organ of state, where applicable, must establish policies, directives, and categories for classifying, downgrading, and declassifying. And then also 4, protection against not only loss and destruction, but alteration, loss and destruction, and unlawful disclosure, which is now again our classification coming in the wrong place, of state information created, acquired, or received by that organization. So we propose putting where applicable after 6, insert alteration before loss, and take unlawful disclosure up there. It's not just in the wrong place. Put it into the first or second line. To say that every organ of state must now write policies, directives, and categories of classification. They're not going to all classify. Not all 3,000 of them are not going to classify. So you must say where applicable. The head of each organ of state, where applicable, yes, was messed up already, must establish policies, directives, and categories for classifying, downgrading, and declassifying state information. And for protection against alteration, loss, and destruction. All right, that everybody can say. And just maybe just take out unlawful disclosure, because that's due to the classification. Just put in where applicable after state. And insert alteration before loss. And they all have to do this within 6 months. This miracle I have to see. And I mean, you're not going to impose this duty on 1,000, 2,000, or 3,000 bodies who aren't ever even going to classify.
The minister the power of issuing regulations, of making regulations. That's all it does. It just specifies what those regulations are, the scope of applications, what they should be doing and what they should not be doing. So the first consideration is to avoid confusion. This additional specified power of issuing regulations should go at the bottom, at the section for clause 48. Just listing it is one of the additional items over the regulations. That's my first concern. My second concern, which I said several times, but just for the record once more, is that what we're dealing with, I think the intention here, was not to have regulations but guidelines, non-binding guidelines. But if there are regulations, they also go at the end.
Right, and it's a very good way out of a little constitutional problem.
Sub 4 and 5.
happening in the membership? Page 28.
Yeah, 28, National Standards and Procedures. Because the minister is prescribing the checklist, that should fall into the regulations clause.
So I was saying that in the regulation clause, you must, after the M, add that the minister can also prescribe. Comments of the
all of the chain.
So what do you leave under what do you leave under 7? Oh, you're not going to make a reference in 7.1 to minister must be 12 months.
That too goes under regulations. So he's prescribing, making regulations. And we have regulations clause, so applicable, that's what you want? Yes.
The rest of it is okay?
Yeah.
It's policies and procedures?
Then maybe that big heading can remain, because it refers to National Information Security Standards in 8.3. Sub-3.
I think it should National Policies and Procedures.
Yeah. The regulations in section 57.
How's it going to read?
Policies and directives must not be inconsistent with the regulations in section 57. Or with the National Information Security Standard, which is scribed into this section. Then you keep the heading which it was.
Okay, the last part, the national. What do you mean,
Okay, we retain the heading in 3. We delete the whole of clause 7. Clause 7 goes to regulations. Following M, following regulation M, we include these as a regulation. The minister must also make a regulation in respect of all these matters. The subheading policies and procedures then may remain. Got that? Information is classified by the relevant objections there. Items and files deleted, subsection 2. Page 36 now. Levels.
Thin document. I had actually thought that we had some sort of agreement that under self-secret information it couldn't be serious or irreparable harm, as Dr. Augustine indeed had argued. Otherwise, you just duplicate serious and irreparable. So it really must be serious and irreparable, or just irreparable, or...
Page 36. Isn't this the flamboyant definition? Page 36, 6 of the 6 documents.
Oh. It's the same subject matter that you've got in today's thin document.
Down to the code.
On your fat document, second last line on the page 36. It's such a simple thing. You can't have a period or the period is the same as the previous and irreparable fit. Why don't we just make it?
But these proposals. This is the definition that came from the professor, isn't it? Classification levels.
No, I have yet to get to that one.
So where are we now?
We're on top secret. And you remember your thresholds are harm, serious demonstrable harm, demonstrable or serious or irreparable harm for confidential secrets, top secret. So I thought I was going to deal first with that because it's also in the thin document. And it's such a simple thing. Top secret can't be serious or irreparable. It's got to be serious and or irreparable.
kind of thought you dealt with this.
We must be edit this. The revised definition comes from
the month. No, we don't take over the month.
Just in our certain proposals, the IP's consideration when we suggestion was grave or irreparable harm, the one proposal there, to deal with top secret. And there's a further proposal there, but that was the consideration. And I think there was some debate. There was no agreement, but there was some debate around the words serious or irreparable harm. And the one view was that serious there would link also to the confidential level. I think there might have been a difference of opinion.
Okay, so
where's
this definition come from?
Chairperson, what
does
it mean? So the document indicates that on that particular aspect, Cycle 3, paragraph 8, there was the question of whether serious should not be rather the month of.
Grave.
I just want to get to my correct document. Should be grave, and then the other one would then be the application, and would then be. It is as indicated serious and irreparable harm on the top of page 2 of some document, and then the second one would be irreparable, and on the committee back to page 1 of the committee proposal document, there it was grave or irreparable harm. The three options to consider is the grave or irreparable harm, serious and, or just irreparable cases.
What is it that was proposed by the good advocate?
Do you want me to deal with that issue? The constitutional argument from the advocate / professor / sometimes judge is overbreadth and vagueness. In respect at every one of the three levels, confidential, secret, and top secret, in respect of international relations and personal privacy, which appears in the latter two categories. Because the simple reason that in no instance where we deal with national security, with international relations, or with personal information which might lead to the harm of a person, do we link it to national security? And that was the big mistake. Whereas the first part of every one of the levels of classification quite clearly says in the judicial information, the disclosure of which could cause demonstrable harm to the national security. So we're clear what we're talking about. Whereas in every case where we deal with international relations, and we freely admit that we ourselves have international relations in our own proposal, in every case where we deal with international relations, there's no reference to the national security whatsoever. We talk simply about prejudicing the Republic in its international relations, jeopardizing the international relations, and in the last instance, severing the threat of the severing of diplomatic relations. But nowhere do we say that this has to do anything with national security, and that is the constitutional problem. Then, in the case of the classification secret, or the classification top secret, we deal also with personal information, and that, in our defense, we always said shouldn't be here. In the case of secret information, personal information, the disclosure of which is likely or reasonably could be said endanger the physical security of a person, but we never said that this had anything to do with national security. In the case of top secret information, personal information, the disclosure of which could be expected to endanger the life of the individual thing stands, once again we didn't say this had anything to do with national security. As against our own excellent conditions for classification and the new Section 15, where the examples we have there have directly related to national security. So that is the argument, that we haven't established the nexus between the information there to be classified and national security, which is the justification to classify. That was the burden of the argument. brought before you. This other is a different matter. The serious and irreparable harm is quite simply a threshold issue. And our last issue is that we thought we'd drop the third issue, Llewellyn. We thought we'd drop the guidelines.
Chair. Suppose that we take in top secret to demonstrate the cause grave or irreparable harm.
Can I? Because I'm trying, honourable members, to see how we came to where we are. I have a document here, it's an opinion, as to the aspects of section 13. Okay? This is what was handed out, which I understand came from the honourable S.C. Corbis van Rooyen. Do you recall that document, honourable members? In this document, after a very convincing argument, the advocate concludes that the particular section should be amended to read, and then he gives his version of how section clause 13 should be dealt with. Does anybody still recall that document?
Of course, I got it for us.
Is that not what you did?
The proposal is to drop all the subsections dealing with international relations and to drop the two items dealing with personal safety. But once, with respect, the ANC established that the word security had been included in its proposal simply because it came out of an old working document, you appeared to lose interest. The exact proposal is the one with the three little asterisks against it, is that you delete international relations wherever it appears, and that you delete personal information wherever it appears. It's that simple. Otherwise, you risk overbreath and vagueness. I rather thought you'd abandon the whole thing. I thought you'd abandon the whole thing because what you really liked was the word security.
Now, on Friday,
excluding the stuff with which we say is a constitutional problem. No, we accept that you are going to insist on it. That doesn't mean we agree to it. And the only outstanding issues were the question of serious or irreparable harm. And the matter of the guidelines for classification levels, we thought had long been dropped. On the one point, haven't we long dropped the guidelines? Yes, we have long dropped the guidelines at the bottom. So the only outstanding issue really is serious or irreparable in top secret. You didn't take the argument about the international. I'm surprised to be invited to speak to it again. You didn't take it. You rejected it. It's fine, Llewellyn. You don't want it. We did. We were persuaded by it. And I only address it because the chairman asked me to.
You know, I'm looking at a big document on page 2. We have already dropped out here at 4. The thing on page 2. Now we're talking about page 36 of the big one. It wasn't supposed to come again on 36 because we assumed that we are talking serious.
you wanted to retain international relations and personal safety. I'd like it if you're prepared to look at that again.
As I understand the position at the moment, the ANC has agreed to amend cause grave or irreparable harm. The issue relating to the international relations remains in the bill. There's no difference. I think that's the ANC's position. And there was an agreement. You then invited a discussion on the opinion which related to the international relations, which suggested it should be removed. So I think the agreement was to keep it in. Am I missing it as well?
The agreement between the Honourable Landers and me was, you dropped the word security and I dropped the phrase that I added to the application clause. That was the deal. That had nothing to do with clause 13. I dropped the section in the application clause which required a demonstration but the matter had to deal with national security. That was the deal.
Honourable members, can I ask a question? I'll get you now, Rossini. Honourable Landers, to what extent does clause 13 not represent what is that you had agreed to, or that you felt you had agreed to?
My notes say that all parties had agreed to the new clause 13 except the IFP, the standard procedure. Those are my notes.
We had outstanding issues and that's not wrong.
Yeah.
In many cases, when you make it clear something's going to be your position, we go ahead in order to include it in the fact document. We're the ones who brought the von Rooyen opinion to you. We got a short von Rooyen opinion. I wrote you yet a further little opinion. And you didn't want it. So, your position prevails, you are both. But we had some outstanding issues, one, and that was the matter of a serious or irreparable harm. And that doesn't imply that we agree with the whole thing, as we just know that's what it's going to be.
Honourable Landers, do we move on the setting and you're going to put your cross setting down? You'll put down your close setting as you understood.
Okay. I will address only one issue, Mr. Chairman, of the many which have been raised. And my understanding was through that section, the subsection, subclause 4 was dropped. If it has not been dropped, I need to understand what it is that is saying. I mean, what are we asking? Who are we speaking to and what are we telling him? We are telling to the classifying authority to use the regulations, which is a strange thing. It almost says ignore the act, just look at the regulations. We could not say anything more than that, because we surely cannot say, please respect the law. The law cannot say, please abide by the regulations. Here in the Act, the classifying authority must use the guidelines. This reminds me of a precise language which was taken, which was in the Aliens Control Act, Apartheid and Last Act, in which it said the officials must use the consular code. And the consular code was a secret document which contained the immigration law of the country. And the Aliens Control Act was bypassed in the daily basis in the application of the law. So I don't, perhaps I come from that bad experience, but I don't want to be saying the same thing here. Don't use this act. Just use the guidelines which are in the regulations. And that's the only thing that can mean. because we cannot mean abide by the regulations. That doesn't need to be said. So I think that it's either pleonastic or it's dangerous, and it should really go out. And also these guidelines, we have in 8, in clause 8, we talk about policies and directives. Now, for the first time, we get guidelines. So we're going to have policies, directives, guidelines, and regulations. It gets all very complex.
Honorable members, my ruling on this matter is that we have gone through the same document in which you have acknowledged that those clauses referring to 13 are accurately captured there. I know there are other issues which you want to address. As for the ANC, I'm going to ask Mr. Launders to present tomorrow what the particular provision should read like. Because it appears that subclause 4 was also not included in the original version. Is that fine, Mr. Launders? Then, honourable members, we go to page 37, bottom, clause 14, products to classify.
What is sub 4? Is it part of? Was it dropped? Was it not dropped? Will be dropped?
The honourable Launders says that this particular clause 13 as reflected here is what they want. And I've said we will let the Honourable Launders come back tomorrow or maybe later to circulate what is the position on clause 13. The rest of what clause 13 should on the other party's versions is in the same document.
That's all I've been discussing there. But we had our argument and we thought we'd not on the overbreath and unconstitutional.
So we're on bottom of page 37, the head of an organ state may classify.
Very much. It should be made subject to the application clause.
Where are we now?
Okay. Subject to section. Any head of an organ of state might classify or reclassify.
That's one way of doing it. The other way could be just any relevant or where applicable.
Subject to section 3. Page 38. No. Clause 14 now, 14.1 will start with the words subject to section 3. Any head of an organ of state may classify. German?
May we overkill it and say subject to subsection 3, any relevant head of organ of state?
I think the honourable members, let's be simple now. So now you want to, then you're going to start using the word relevant, and we know exactly what we, and everybody that reads this, I'm sure will understand. Then designated staff members, and that's fine, and then 38, page 38. Field worker 7, 22, these are your field workers. Spent a lot of time. Bottom of page 38 and 39, deleted. Page 40, deleted. Top of page 41, deleted. Conditions. This is your amalgamation of 21 and 17. New 15. Plenty of time spent on this one, honorable members. There is what you should be very vivid in your mind still. So 41. Conditions. I think we spent many, many, many days on this one. 42. 43. Yes.
On 41, I raised an issue in the back room, where it says that the decision to classify information must be based solely on the guidelines set out in this act. The original wording, which the state law advisors has been requested to bring into the new section, read the conditions set out in this section. So this was not just around this act, but in this section, and I felt more comfortable with the previous language, because these are the conditions that bind. There are other conditions that one needs to find elsewhere. And the concern specifically is that this act is defined to include the regulations. So if you say that must be based solely on the conditions set out in this act, which is not what we want and it came from the state law advisors, rather than this section, we're opening a wide door for regulations, which are included in the definition of this act, to create additional conditions.
Honorable members, page 41, the decision to classify information must be based solely on the conditions. We took out the words criteria. That was the honorable Smuts's proposal. Conditions set out in this act. You want to change on Smuts? And then we deleted sub 2 and we got a new 2. Secrecy is justifiable only when necessary to protect the national security. And then all those things are what we agreed to. Now, if we went to 42, those are all things that we spent a lot of time. Remember, this is the... I don't know how to deal with you, honorable Abrasini. You asked for a special private session where you had undertaken that if you were given that opportunity, you would not be raising those things again. And you were given an opportunity, and now it seems that you want to also have a second opportunity now to raise the things again. The answer that you get is precisely the reaction that you get. I don't know if you want, you can ask the Honorable Lawrence if he wants to give you a broader answer. But I don't think it's practical for you to be answered on every single thing that you've raised and which has been marked. Your honorable colleagues have got this marked. They know exactly. They have been discussing this thing. All of them have got lots of notes on this thing, so I don't know. Ask the Honorable Lawrence if he wants to give you an answer. Honorable.
Chair, we didn't find Mr. Ambrosini's motivation convincing. If I refer you to the maximum protection period, Chairperson, it deals with the continued protection of state information from unlawful disclosure, and it sets out three conditions there. So it's not only the conditions set out in the section, which is section 15.
So we're satisfied with it saying as set out in this Act.
Page 42, honourable members.
I had a request for consideration to be given to the retention of the language which has been taken out from I for India. I for India, taking into account the following factors. I remember that at the time it was said that the matter would be revisited. So I'm not sure whether this is the time where it can be revisited or should not be revisited. And I'm not going to motivate. If need be, I will motivate. I did motivate.
Honourable Member, the clause that you're referring to appears on page 42 of the big document. If I'm correct, that is taken exactly from your IFP document and was inserted here. And you can see that it is now in bold that it has been rejected. It was considered and rejected. That is clause I.
The language which is in bold was the language in the appeal. It is not language that I suggested. It was taken out of the appeal. So my suggestion was to retain it.
And what you are faced with, the parties have agreed to say for yourselves, is what is left on page 42. So, honourable members, can we proceed to 42 and 43? Now we've already agreed that we include M. If you go to your regulations, you'll see the last regulation M is dealing with this thing. As the honourable members checked up, if you go to page 90, page 90 towards the bottom, bracket M for mother. That regulation will read that the minister may make regulations consistent with the Act regarding the procedure to be followed and the manner in which a record that is reported and returned under section 16 to the South African Public Services or the agency, as the case may be, must be dealt with. And we still need prescribement. Where do you want prescribement, sir? Where's such record? And the return such record in the prescribed manner.
Chairman? No, afterward.
And return such record to a member of the SEPS or the agency in the... Okay, there's a proposal to be dealt with in the prescribed manner. Got that, Ms. Boyser? Okay? Me too. Authority to classify, bottom of page 44.
I just want to record my objection to the clause.
To what clause? Protection periods 46.
I just want you to start here at the bottom of 45 because we have to decide what chapter 47 now really is. And I'll give you my specific problem two phases further on. Chapter 7 now purports to call itself Criteria for Continued Classification of State Information. However, after all our hacking, all that's left is the new clause 19 called Regular Review of Classified Information, which says that the head of an organ of state must at least every 10 years review the classified status of all information, may review such at any time. When conducting a review, the head of organ must apply the conditions for the classification and declassification of state information set out in this chapter. I think it has to be set out in this act, because this chapter is quite a thin thing now that we finished with it. I think it is misnamed Criteria for Continued Classification. That appears only in 20-year rule. And this basically says that the guys have to start working through all of the old classified information and start reviewing. And quite obviously when they do that, what they have to comply with is 13 and 15. Not the stuff in this chapter. So what sounds like a little point actually quite important. All we have left in this chapter is that. The requirement for the 10-year review. And the request for access. Is the panel in this chapter? I am on page 19 to continue. No, I didn't even see that. But so there's something wrong with the chapter, isn't there? Because they are there. Criteria are 13 and 15.
On
Singh.
And that, thank you. I had enormous difficulties with this, and I'm trying to finesse myself out of the difficulties by making, by suggesting that an additional A, B, C, D be added, which was complies with section 13 and 17. 13 and 15. So that we've got criteria. But the real question is, what are we doing here? We say 20 years and no longer. However, if something happens, then it can be longer. Now, is this something the same as 13 and 17? Or is it something more? Is it a higher threshold? And if I look, and here the audience must say yes, and that should be the answer instinctively. I mean, if we extend it beyond 20 years, it should be a higher threshold. But if I look at the actual language, crucial to the safeguarding of national security, and I'm lost because I've got serious, grave, irreparable, and now I get crucial. And I'm not sure how one grades all this world. I mean, there is a crucial necessary to prevent significant and demonstrable damage to national security. I mean, that to me seems lower than 13. And if it is higher, it draws a light, a shaped light on 13, which is very concerning, because then 13 is not necessary. And necessary to prevent demonstrable physical and threatening harm to a person or persons. So, if the conditions still exist, then they should go beyond 20 years. We don't need to reinvent another test. If we have 13 and 17, all that the minister needs to do is, after 20 years, provide a good reason why the same conditions apply, and provide a good reason to the classification review panel. Same criteria. What's good for the past is good for the future. Rather than engineering what could be higher standard, a lower standard, subject to criteria, it gets terribly confusing to somebody like me who's been involved for all these months in reading it. I could just imagine how confusing it will get once it's implemented.
Honourable members, the Honourable Mr. Tetris Tulumo has asked to be heard. Can we use it? Mr. Tulumo, and then after that, Mr. Ramos.
Chairperson, I just wanted to shed light on the earlier discussion amongst members that we had worked together with the Office of the State Law Advisors, and we produced for you a one-pager, which one-pager was seeking to provide a possible structure of the bill. So some of the things that the members have been debating are directly related to those earlier proposals. We did not clean the content page, if honorable members would recall, because we're waiting for a decision to be taken in relation to that matter in terms of the packaging. That's what I thought, Chairperson, I should just share, because the debate that was taking place had just omitted to recall that submission we had made.
Thanks.
Chairperson, all right. I'm going to read you the clause and then make a few suggestions. In accordance with Section 11(2) of the National Archives of South Africa Act, information may not remain classified for more than a 20-year period unless the head of organ of state that classified the state information certifies to the satisfaction of his or her relevant minister, having regard to the conditions in Section 15. So there's no criteria anyway. We've set down conditions, Chairperson, for the classification of information. And so, if the head of the organ of state wants that information to remain classified,
we must do so with regard to the conditions we set out in section 15. Now that we must take out. That's now added condition. Why do we need this stuff? We put in the conditions in 15, and
yeah.
It took us months.
Yeah.
And then we had additional conditions.
But this is the higher threshold again. And I did ask at one point what crucial means. I asked for a legal opinion what is crucial.
So when we reclassify after 20 years, we don't worry what in section 15. We look at what's in here. That's wrong. Surely that's wrong. No, the conditions that are in section 15 must apply at that time.
This is an argument of a whole of the committee except me, so I don't think you've been unreasonable. I myself do think there should be higher threshold. Because the 20-year rule is the 20-year rule. If you really want to go on classifying, obviously there would be very good reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about the necessary to prevent significant demonstrable damage to the national security? No, you're wrong. No.
Whenever I differ from the Honorable Matt, I feel great pain. But
move on.
Okay.
The man who experiences a lot of pain. Haven't you heard him say the same thing about many people?
Okay. No, but I mean the logical position is that if there is a level at which things need to be classified, if that level still exists, things must continue to be classified. If there is a reason, that reason subsists, that things need to be classified. We are dealing with a situation which is extraordinary, more than 20 years. Those conditions should not be there any longer. But if they are the same, then they should be there. So I think the problem is not as much in changing the threshold. The threshold should remain the same. But having an independent assessment of whether the conditions are in fact still there and whether it is still justified. So my humble suggestion is to say certify to the satisfaction of the classification review board that the conditions for classification still subsist. Yeah, so we keep same. Is Mr. Landers with us? So that certifies to the satisfaction of the classification review board that the conditions for classification still subsist. Apply, however you want. Stop, period, nothing else, the rest goes.
Then we get to the Honorable Abelsina's additions, which is?
To delete everything that follows the word satisfaction.
Where is that word?
It's on page 45.
But we just agreed now that Londis conditions in clause 15.
Well, I mean, my proposal is to delete everything which follows satisfaction and add to the satisfaction of the classification review board that the conditions for classification still apply or subsist to whatever you prefer. Yeah, take out in section 15 and 13. Still apply.
The information certifies to the satisfaction of, and now comes the new words, the classification review panel, that the conditions for classification set out in section 13 and 15
consultants.
I think, honourable members, a simple thing
$3.
A simple thing. I will find the right place. I think a simple thing is to give the review panel its own meeting and section. It's got a whole lot of sub clauses and breakages. Then I think we need a reading for a request for access to information. We need such a heading. It is very nice when people are looking at the bill that they actually see there is a request procedure here. And then the other things you can fit where you want to. Now, let me first assess where you go. Yes, sorry, Honourable.
In line with your suggestion, Chair, on page 52, where it says establishment of classification review panel, it creates a chapter there dealing with the classification review panel. I'm not sure what chapter that number that will be. The rest of the headings that followed stay the same.
On page 52,
which then leaves only with what is in from page 46 up to page 51 for us to decide how we want to deal with it. Maybe we can follow the suggestion of the Honourable Annalise van Wyk and say, let's take out everything that we've agreed must come out there, which is on page 46, that continued classification, and further on page 47, and then it starts with a small heading of regular reviews of classified information, and goes on, and we take out what needs to be taken out there, and then on 49, where it says request for status review, that whole section there comes out, and all we're left with is another heading which doesn't have a number. It says request for access to classified information and status review. And that's it. You can then decide what the heading is on this chapter 7 should be.
Meeting is adjourned until 8:15.
About 19B. don't have sanctions yet. So page 48. And the concern is that we are creating an obligation on organs of state to do something, and we're making no provision if they fail to do so. And at the time, the Honorable Landers said that we would consider it and at the time that we had planned for further consideration. My proposal, which the Honorable Landers said was too draconian in nature, was that of saying, failing which it shall be deemed the state classification at last. You don't put the stamp reviewed once every 10 years. It can't be that important. It's very chalk. And if they don't do so, it will last. At the time, if they know that can't be, but we will look at something else. So I would like to repropose the lasting provision. Again, it only stands on a piece of paper. If they don't bother doing it, why should it be kept secret? Or, alternatively, I'd like to know if the Honorable Landers applied his mind to the issue and can be such a mechanism which can give some peace to this obligation.
In response to what the Honourable Secretary is saying now, and this is related to clause 19B, and the question of what happens if you get the organ of state as an duty, is an offence to be inserted there, the head of an organ of state would free, or in a grossly negligent manner fails to comply with the provision of this act, commits an offence, is liable on conviction to a fine or to imprisonment for a period of exceeding 2 years. I think that's automatic classification process that they are
in the chapter, it's still in
May not stay within a reasonable period to be no longer than less than 60 days. Appointment of treasury agreed to. This is all stuff that you have spent many weeks on. I'm just recording that in my agreement that there was the agreed with the text that I wanted some additional specifications on the powers of the panel, and so I'm not in agreement to the extent that this is not in the document from November State of Statistics Office. Office, and we want them to deal with accountability. Sorry, we want to deal with reporting. I'm fine with 3 and 4. I thought that 3 could be more elegantly phrased. And head of an organ state must report to the classification review panel all the information and importation which has been declassified during the previous year.
Thank you.
Declassified information may be accessed in a prescribed manner.
Yes, it's meaningful. You cannot ascribe to me something which is meaningful. I don't like meaning. I mean, it's meaningless. I'm always
meaningful.
I'm not
ascribing meaningful things. I'm meaningful.
Every campus. It's meaningless. And it's not in my goal.
Honorable members, let me draw your attention to the fact that on 58 of the six documents, is it correct to say that as we run from subsection 1 to subsection 4, is that the same as running from subsection 1 to subsection 4 on page 5, or the difference?
Government
can make that appeal.
Thank you.
Okay. The Honourable Lander asked, what's the difference? What's the purpose of having a provision for downgrade? Where you have, and you see that in several countries, for example in France, for example in England, where you have the value of something like this, is when there is tension between organs of state, when the police wants to access certain information which the intelligence apparatus doesn't want to give them. And the police might not say, or the investigating officer might not say, I'm addressing the proposal. I'm just the proposal is diversified on some areas. Go to England. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I am talking. I would like to continue. May I?
I think the point is well taken because there was a proposal that was considered. Can I ask the Honourable Sancho? Can I just hear the Honourable Member?
Point of order.
Honourable Member, do you not understand what is in the chairperson and my point of order?
I was
so difficult to you. Have I not said that I would hear you? Have I ever refused to hear you, Honourable Member?
May I answer the question?
No, I'm not asking you to answer. My view, Honourable Member, is that the point is well taken. The point forward is well taken. We need to get to the proposal that because there are other members that want to be heard, and I think it may cause an unnecessary disturbance if I have the proposal put first. I'm going to ask to hear the Honourable Member's.
Available. That person wants to know what the classification status is. that just declassification of Finnish as well.
Okay, now, I'm a little short. What is it you want?
Okay, I would like to hear about the suggestion again and his proposal. My question is slightly separate. I don't understand the context of a request for declassification. I know there's a request for access to classified information. Is that implied in that?
Thank you.
for information, which is classified.
process under 25. The sub C, which is your section 46 override, is a particular situation that occurs where there's a substantial conflict or an imminent serious public safety environment. Those are the urgent issues. Those should not be subject to appeal because that is another internal process which will subject you going to court. So there are two. There's the normal access, can that deny, and you then can appeal that and then go to court under 2034. Then you've got the urgent substantial 46 override, where the Board of Statement give you a decision quickly, and then you have to go to court. Because if you have to go to appeal again in that process, there's going to be a frustration in the process.
And we're still keeping one thing, and it's exactly right with subsequent of the town, because we have to get your cross review in subsex. And but your cross review is done by the head of organization. The full missing the prior step at which the relevant authorities have called, which is a minute now, under your first internal review, before you have to go to court. I mean, already we're not giving them enough time.
Appeal procedure. Any person denied access to information in terms of this act. I appeal to the Honourable Minister. Not the Honourable Minister. I just ask you. Is that not the answer?
After the unnumbered calls. And in a sense, we provide for this.
Consideration. I don't need a copy of time for sure.
two appeal processes that have already been built into the PR. The first appeal process relates to the imminent danger as we are debating about Quebec about to burn or explode. That is already built in as part of that section 46 imported from Thai. What needs to be done is the proposal that the chairperson is making in order to clear the process is to make sure that that part of the proposal that has just been made by the chairperson excludes that section. Then the process will not be contradictory. But if you think the way it is being discussed at the moment, the process flow is really going to be impacted upon, and there will be contradictions in the way which the discussion is currently continuing. So from a process, a business process perspective, there are two appeal processes. One, which quickly goes to the head of a department which does not grant in terms of Section 46 imminent danger, etc. Then it goes to court, and there are provisions that have already been built in as to how the court should deal with the condolement and all of those issues in order to fast-track the process. Then the second one is under the ordinary process similar to those of prior, you then go through the internal process, and after the internal process, you then go to court. So there is the need to reconcile those two provisions in order to exclude this imminent danger one from being subject to the internal process, which has already been done, but now, with the proposal being given by the chairman, there is confusion if that exclusion is not made. Thank you.
So, honorable members, if I were to take that advice and also as much the same concern raised by the honorable Swartz, and the clause that I read out should read firstly subject to subsection 3, subject to subsection 23, that's the one where the honorable Swartz has raised the concern, and then the rest will follow. That's the one that you want to exclude from the proposal. So, I'm going to understand. Honorable ones, you would like to know what I said, so we need to include now that is subject. Subsection 3A. Honorable members, can we proceed then? Four is now following the rest of the one, which doesn't apply to the subsection. Subsection 23A. Four is the main because that was a convention of appeal.
Notwithstanding the appeal procedure, can we fix it there? court in the situation of urgency, the court can condone. I think it's on page 51.
Can you ask him to insert a clause here that excludes between what he doesn't want the appeal procedure to apply to what he did the clause 20 where you are dealing with something urgent. And all that to say at the end of that 34, he doesn't apply to those that clause, honorable members, on the one thing about wording it, I can
hear.
Can you just hear this, honorable members, and hear that we want to amend?
Subject to section 2. Subject to section 2. Limit to use it. All right. Any person who gives access to information, terms of this act, may appeal to the government. And then, which leads on, upon receipt of an appeal, the Earl Minister must make a finding and the case of refusal to make a decision.
We got two, we must add two.
Why do we need two?
30 days. No one. Honorable members.